basketball, a game of giants. And there's number 99, George Mikan, one of the greatest.
Perhaps the most complete player the game has ever seen. The Lakers captain, Elgin Baylor.
2 seconds, 1 second. West throws it up.
Jerry West made it from the other side of the mid-court stripe.
Ford sends it to Kareem. Sky hook up and good. Lakers win.
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Shaquille fade away.
Bryant for the win. Bang! James puts up the three. Oh, it's good.
Doncic on the drive. Step back. Puts it up. Puts it in. Goodbye.
What's up, Laker fans? You're listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. And as we record this, our Lakers are flying back from what looked like a successful trip to Slovenia. Lots of good vibes on social media the last few days, D. And we're going to use that sort of as an opportunity of building chemistry on this team and just the different points of chemistry that there are. While he's not necessarily the person responsible for every player the Lakers acquired this offseason, D, the Lakers built this team very much with Luka Doncic in mind and got sign-off on really all the top guys that they acquired from him. And so this is very much Luka's team and a team that's aligned with his vision. And I just love the idea of him holding court and them traveling out there and doing all the team stuff. They got some run in, but that I don't think is really even the primary purpose of a trip like this. And so I'm just curious, man, from what we saw, certainly as outsiders, what was your impression of their trip to Slovenia?
Looks like they had a good time. Looks like they had some fun. The archival footage that Vando releases in 10 years or whatever is probably going to light up the internet, right? Once he has clearance from everyone. Vando walking around like he's David Fincher or something. Let me document all of this stuff so I could put it into some collage. But all that together time, the stuff on the golf course, the stuff that we got glimpses into from a social media perspective, them having interaction with fans, riding in all the cars or the little boats where they're throwing stuff out to fans, the stuff at dinner. And honestly, I know it's highly curated social media propaganda from the team, but the little glimpses we get of making every shot, playing together, little nifty drive and dish from Quentin Grimes or Luka hitting a step back three or Austin getting to the basket. All of this is a piece to me of the team trying to come together, form an identity, and Luka is the leader of that. He is going to spearhead that. And one of the things that I thought first, just from some of the still images and then from the video stuff that we got, is physically Luka looks great.
Jake looks good. A lot of guys look like they're in good shape.
So I thought Luka especially, like, I get that he had done a lot of physical transformation stuff last offseason, and I thought that he looked great to start the regular season last year. There's a certain amount of him looking very comfortable in his body right now. He looks as fit as I've ever seen him, particularly in the context of it being this stage of his career. One of the things that's always funny to me is going back and watching old clips of players who are currently in the league now. And so going back to 2012 and watching LeBron or seeing clips of Kevin Durant or Steph Curry, or going back a decade and seeing clips of Anthony Davis or Giannis, just guys who were in their 13th, 14th, 15th year, and looking at them when they were third-year players or fourth-year players. And Luka looks fit like he was when he first came into the league, but progressed from a body transformation standpoint of what you might expect from him after being in the league for 8 years. And I get that he's carried more weight in the past. I get that when he first came to the Lakers, he wasn't in particularly good condition. And I think it's both fair to say, but also contextually important to point out that he had been dealing with lower body injuries and hadn't been doing a lot of conditioning. And so, of course, he's not going to be in peak condition. But to me, Pete, from how he looked physically to the camaraderie that was being built, this really does look like a Luka Doncic-led team, and I'm very interested to see how that translates to the basketball court.
One of the things about the Lakers offseason is they signed more players to 3 and 4 year deals than pretty much anybody in the league, and that's one of the things that's different about this year's team, and this kind of start of a new era that I'm excited about. I don't expect this to be the Finnish roster that they try to win a championship with. I think we're a couple transaction cycles away from that being totally locked in. But I do think several of these guys, the intent is for them to be on that team and for them to be here for several years. And so there is a less transient quality to this year's team that I think, because they had been really gearing up for this summer from a transaction standpoint, it was like, let's get the best players that we can. And yeah, it's going to be somewhat of a mishmash of talent, but we do need talent, right? We do need a DeAndre Ayton, a Marcus Smart. We need just the best players that we can get. And then you kind of try to make it work. And this, to me, in this trip is the beginning of sort of establishing roots in a way that I'm curious your thoughts on this idea of talent versus chemistry. And obviously you want both. And I think the Lakers do need more talent. But what can that sort of, we're going to be here for a while and this isn't just a pit stop in my career type of thing, do for a group of guys?
This is a great idea, Pete. Before I comment, I wanted to kick an idea back to you because last year I thought they did add Ayton and they did add Marcus and they were critical players within the context of what the Lakers were trying to accomplish. But many of the players that were a part of the rotation outside of that were, or at least the key players, right, in terms of LeBron and Austin to a certain degree, Luka, because he was a holdover from the previous year, Rui, Jackson Hayes, I think even Vando being on the team for as long as he was, even though he was in and out of the rotation, that they had more built-in established chemistry, right? Mm-hmm. But all of those guys were on expiring contracts.
Yes.
I'm wondering how you balance the idea of this year's team with not a lot of chemistry to start because this is so much of the team is turned over, but the prospect of there being security in terms of their contracts versus what we saw last year where more holdover players who had played together for longer, but with their contract statuses up in the air, and how you compare those two ideas when trying to get the most out of a roster.
Remember, this was a concern that we had about last year's team, was that you've got a lot of guys that have every reason to be thinking of their career, what's going to happen this next summer, that would naturally foster a certain degree of selfishness or self-centeredness that's not necessarily conducive to good team play, but I thought they all navigated that really well. I don't think that there was a whole ton of that lingering on last year's team. And as you said, several of them had played together for quite some time, so there was that existing chemistry. I do think, though, that not having that on your mind at all and that not having that as something that's lingering out there, I think you've got who I think Sexton is on a player option, so he could be a free agent this upcoming summer. And then Vando's got 2 years left on his deal. But for the most part, the players that are projected to be in the rotation, at least, are either locked in for a few years or there's vet men guys like a Matisse or Zaire, guys who I think need to have a certain amount of health over the course of this season. It's really more of that. Their level of security is, am I going to be in the league going forward? And to what degree am I going to be on vet min type of contract? So there is some of that existing to a certain degree, but I think not having that in your mind, I think it's really conducive to a trip like this that they just took of, hey, let's get to know each other and let's really invest in each other in a way that just fosters on each other in the first place rather than just a collection of individuals.
Let's take a break here, Pete. When we come back, I want to hit your question to me.
Chumba Casino is blooming with new games and free daily bonuses. Log in this week to catch the latest additions and keep the fun going strong. Join over a million players who make every spin a little celebration. There's always something new to enjoy. Chumba Casino, play for fun. Stay for the surprises. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus.
Yeah, the old talent versus chemistry, obviously you want both, right? But the entire idea of being greater than the sum of your parts, I think, is actually code for chemistry, right? And it's code for not only chemistry in terms of how we get along as teammates and as people in a workplace, but I think chemistry in terms of how our games are conducive to supporting each other's and to helping to elevate each other's games. I think when you have a conductor like Luka Doncic, you can fast track your way into an environment where you've got one player's ability to lift up a lot of people's games at the same time. And that helps in this scenario. But I would also argue, Pete, that one of the things that I thought a LeBron-led team needed a lot of was basketball IQ. It was, to me, one of the most critical, under-discussed ideas about the 2020 team that won the championship was how much actual basketball acumen and understanding within the context of their relative roles that all of these guys had. I remember during that year, you and I talked about how overqualified someone like Dwight Howard was to being a backup big man who was just supposed to play defense and get to the dunker spot offensively and just hang around the basket. This was a guy who was a multiple-time Defensive Player of the Year award winner and didn't do that just because he was super athletic and can block shots around the basket. He had all of this craft and understanding of how to be an elite defensive big man, and then he brought that to the table in this backup role that when you combine him with a player like Danny Green, with a player like Alex Caruso, with a player like Avery Bradley, and then you're like, holy shit, all of these dudes know, and then Anthony Davis, by the way, LeBron James, right? It's just all of the defensive know-how of what that group was. Of course, they were one of the best defensive teams in the league, particularly in the playoffs. And then offensively, when you had LeBron and Rajon Rondo and then Anthony Davis, I always felt like these dudes, they clearly understood what their jobs were.
And you had a great coaching staff that year, too. I thought you had a lot of IQ on the bench in that way, too.
And so when I look at a Luka Doncic-led team, I think Luka can fast-track a team in a way offensively where it's just like basketball IQ is great. And obviously, you want all of these guys to be able to make the right read, to make decisions quickly, to act quickly. But Luka is also a player that has historically been able to put players in positions where they can be finishers more often than they have to be guys who are continuing to build advantage. Now, don't get me wrong. I want guys who can do that across the roster. But I think what Luka actually needs most is a combination of athleticism and ability to capitalize on the openings that he creates with a baseline level of basketball IQ so that in the highest leverage games, they're not out there making mistakes. You know what I mean? You need them to be able to excel physically and then also be at a baseline level mentally to say, you can't play me off the court from the game moving too fast or me having to make decisions, and then athletically, you definitely can't play me off of the court. And I think that's one of the things that this Lakers roster is going after, a certain amount of youth and athleticism and then know-how. They want to live in the middle of that Venn diagram in order to operate best. And so the chemistry aspect to me is great. Like, let them all go out to dinner, let them all hang, let them make jokes, let them sort of take on the personality of their best players, which is a certain amount of, with Luka's perspective, like joking around, some sarcasm, taking digs at each other, but all within fun. But from a chemistry togetherness standpoint, I'm also looking at the ways that their games coalesce.
Yeah, and that remains to be seen, right? We're a little bit less than 1 month away from Media Day. I think that's going to be on the 28th of September. So that does remain to be seen. But even in the building of that, it's like the team one versus team two on the kayak type of thing. That I think that's an element of Luka's personality as well, as just a level of competitiveness in whatever it is that you're doing and trying to win and beat the guy across from you. One thing that stood out to me from watching the videos and seeing the photos and all of that is all these guys are around the same age. And I'm curious your thoughts on that idea of, through no one's fault, right? But you and I are a couple of years older than LeBron. I couldn't imagine relating too heavily to a bunch of 25-year-olds at this point in my life, even if I liked them, right? Just different points of life, different concerns, just a different part of the path. That, do you think that's important to any degree that, you know, Luka's 28, these are a bunch of guys that are 24 to 27, they're kind of close enough in a way that, do you think that assists in the whole chemistry building?
I think it does, just from a being from the same generation sort of deal. One of the things I always appreciated about LeBron is that he was very youthful in his age and that he was
totally
a big kid in a lot of ways. And I think that's one of the reasons why his career has sustained the way that it is, that he's got a youthfulness to him that allows him to ingratiate himself to teammates of any age. But he also has a shit ton of experience that allows him to put on the principal's hat if he has to and be like, I need you guys to do exactly this at exactly this time. And he can speak with authority on game situations that I think are super important. This is where I think Luka is going to be needed the most as a leader this year, is that I listened to Kobe talk about how the time frame between the last championship and playoff runs that he made with Shaq versus the times when they went to the first finals after the Powell trade in 2008, and what Kobe learned, particularly coming on the back end of losing in the finals in 2008, and him understanding what it meant to lead and get the most out of the individual players around him. And that's an idea that I'm very interested in. We haven't heard Luka talk a lot about leadership. I haven't, particularly because I didn't follow him with the Mavs. So any questions that he was getting asked about that, or things that you could infer from his leadership style from post-game comments, we've only gotten 18 months of that sort of thing. And on a team where LeBron was still on the roster, I would argue LeBron's voice was still, if not 1A and 1B with Luka, even more like he is the sort of predominant voice that still exists. So to me, Pete, it's the Luka as a leader idea as well here that I think is worth sussing out a little bit more as to how the sort of, hey, we're all the same age and come from the same generation and like the same things, that's going to be something. But Luka, I think, also has to channel that in the direction that's best going to suit the team.
And I think just the action of him inviting all of them out there and paying for it, right? It's all on his dime. I think that illustrates that idea, again, just in action, in that, like, this is his first group of guys, I think, that have been really, I don't want to say selected by him, but he was very formative in how this team was put together. And I think that gesture of, hey, you are my guys, and this is going to be something that we want to really build a relationship on. And I think just that action is super significant within what you're saying there.
And I think that that culminates with a trip like the one that they just made. I can't remember who made this point, but I think that the idea that all of these guys took times out of their lives to come to where Luka is at a time in his life where he's really trying to optimize his off-season time in Europe, where he could be around his children. Mm-hmm. We all know that Luka's going through some things personally, that I think that this helps him. And that idea, I think, also fosters this sense of a brotherhood that we hear a lot of teams talk about when they're like in the foxhole and these are my guys. But this isn't to say anything negative against these ideas, but this isn't like showing up to Las Vegas or coming to Los Angeles or San Diego in order to meet up an hour and a half from where they all play basketball together. These guys hopped on an international flight, and I get it was chartered at a nice plane. I'm sure everything was first class all the way, but that's not you and me flying from L.A. to San Francisco.
Right. Pete, that's halfway around the world.
Yeah. To Slovenia. So I think all of that is symbolic of the forging of something that they're trying to accomplish as a group and something that they're trying to do together. Let's take our second break here, though, Pete. And when we come back, I want to dive into a couple of the individual players that have been on my mind a little bit. Before we started to record, Pete, I had said something to you that maybe caught your ear a little bit. I think the swing idea for this team are a few players on the wing, and particularly how the way that you can elevate your group is when players who were slotted to a certain level, either through role or through salary, can play above that level. in order to really boost your roster. And I think that this is another idea that ties into the talent versus chemistry. Can chemistry tap into some of every NBA player's inherent talent level to get them to play above expectation, for lack of a better word? And the three guys who come to mind to me around this idea are Zaire Williams and Matisse Thybulle, and to a lesser degree, but I think also an interesting one, Jared Vanderbilt. And so I just want to kick that idea to you open-ended. Choose any of those players as a group or the general idea that I'm posing to you. What do you think of that?
I think opportunities are certainly available. We'll see what happens with the Kuminga situation and the Lakers' starting forward spot. But even if they do add him, I think that there's certainly opportunity for all those guys to be those sort of play above your contract. Maybe not Vando, but certainly Matisse and Zaire. And Zaire was one of the guys that just personality-wise stood out to me. Him and Sexton especially are two of the guys that just how they carry themselves, I think there's potential there to be those guys that sort of play above what they've got. But I guess the guy I'd want to zero in on is Vando, right? That's something that seeing how close him and Luka have become, and he is somebody that I felt did a great job of being sort of Luka's bodyguard, kept him out of doing dumb shit. He at least saved him from a couple technicals last year, I know that.
He might have saved him from a bench blow-up with J.J. Redick, too. Let me cut this angle for a second.
And I don't think that changes the, like, Vando. The Lakers would trade Vando whenever they got the chance to or anything like that. But I do think he has an impact on the personality of the team and on the vibes of the team that is valuable. And I think he's got just a sense for that. And so I know he'd been on your mind a couple of days ago. We were talking over text. So what do you think about that whole idea with Vando being sort of, you know, obviously you don't want to pay, what's he making, $13 million a year?
Yeah.
Just good vibes. But I do think that he, and he's one of the holdovers too, right? This is his, what, fourth year with the Lakers, fifth year with the Lakers? That, what do you think of him in terms of, if he's on this year's team, what the role that he plays within sort of tying the group together?
This is an interesting idea to me with Jared Vanderbilt, Pete, because right now the hole that exists at power forward is one that Vando could, in theory, help fill. Positionally, that's the spot that he plays. And from a skill set perspective, at least defensively, he aligns with a lot of what the Lakers need. Offensively, we've talked ad nauseum about the things that Vando does not do and the things he's not as good at. And that's going to always be a challenge to him in terms of how he can establish and then maintain a role on the team. I think from a vibes perspective, I think Vando sort of being the guy who is confident in ways where you're sort of like, I think people might get a kick out of Vando. Personality wise, he's into fashion. He's a guy that carries himself in a way where I think that there's a duality to him being like a fun-loving guy who can be outgoing in certain ways, but is also not going to be someone who takes himself too seriously with people clouding him for his golf swing.
And then also on the court, he's always starting some shit with somebody. It's funny because that's that duality of that he's both that guy and the guy who's going to kind of mix it up with the other team and sort of start some of the fights that can, I don't know, that can also build a degree of chemistry too.
The guy who has your back or the guy who's willing to step in for you when you get knocked down, the guy who's going to come and put his hands on the dude who knocked you down. I get that sometimes Vando takes that stuff too far and sometimes he does that stuff in retaliation of some grievance that he himself has felt. I wish that he would leave some of that stuff alone more, right? When he gets tangled up with a big guy and then decides he's going to go chest to chest with him or lock arms and then it's a double technical and it's offsetting or whatever, or he gets a foul. Sometimes I wish that stuff was just left out of it, but I do agree that he seems like a player that always has his teammates' backs. And particularly with Luka, I think he's found a certain amount of kinship in the idea of, no, man, you're our best dude. And guys go at Luka in ways that they don't and never did go at LeBron. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I don't think Vando would ever have to serve this same sort of role on a team where LeBron and AD were the best players. But I do think he can serve this specific role on a team where Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves are your best players. And I'm interested in him being a vibesy sort of addition to the team, Pete, but maybe they're only worth pennies now in their penny stocks, but I still own some of those
Vando stocks.
Yeah, I just do, because a guy who plays as hard as him defensively when he's in the mix, I think off the ball, he still has some lapses where it's just like that's what gets him in trouble, is the same sort of intensity and attention to detail is not there as the intensity and sort of get after it that he shows when he's guarding the ball. But I do think, Pete, that when you are looking at what this Lakers roster needs, I think they need an infusion of defensive intensity on the ball. I think they need a guy who can do that and can rebound. I think they do need a certain amount of chaos-inducing agents defensively that are going to get deflections and lead to steals. I think that's part of the Tybalt acquisition. I think it's part of the Zaire addition. And Vando plays into those same ideas, Pete. Those guys are better than him offensively, but defensively, they all fit in the same role. And I'd love to see them all get chances. Adu as well.
What's on your mind with the other two, with Matisse and with Zaire in this whole context?
I look at Matisse as a 2-3, a guy who can defend down more. The clip that caught my eye from the scrimmaging was Zaire taking like a one-step vert and going up and catching a lob dunk when Luka threw him a late pass. That's very much in the realm of like what big players do and not necessarily what you expect wings to do. And I would think that Zaire is going to be a guy who is trying to like elbow his way into that starting forward role next to Luka. And if that meant Luka had to defend more fours naturally, then that would be the way that it went. But I look at both of those guys as competing to be within the Lakers' top 8 or 9, like firm rotation players along with Jake. And this is where I think that battle is going to be with Matisse, with Jake, with Zaire. I think Vando's probably on the outside looking in to start the season, and Adu might even have a foot in the door in front of Vando just based off of projecting towards the future. But all of those guys, Pete, that's the open slot on the team. They should all be looking to take advantage of the opportunity that's there.
One thing that's interesting about them is how similar they are in terms of what they do well. And I do see it as a battle and a competition. There are only so many guys that you can play, but they're all like chaos creator. I've seen our defense described as like Kessler and chaos, which I absolutely love. And so, yeah, you can only play so many of these guys together at the same time. But I do think that their similarities really speaks to like we're going to play a certain way that I think they can work together in ways that, like, for example, that dive cut from Zaire that he got the lob from Luka on, that's a thing Adu can do as well. And between that and the deflections that they get out on the perimeter, that building chemistry defensively, especially if you're a very hunting for turnovers and steals type of defense, like, I think that the more guys you have like that, it sort of has a compounding effect in a positive way.
And I'm just interested to see if the idea of iron sharpening iron, of all of these guys throwing their hat into the ring and doing similar things, and it's just like, all right, we've got 3 or 4 players who are cut from the same cloth. Who's going to do it better, right? I also think that this is a key idea of team building in general. And we talked about this earlier this offseason, is that Luka and Austin, and to a lesser degree, but similarly, Sexton, they are all sort of going to be guys who you give the ball to, look for them to create advantage and help create offense for you in similar ways that I think the Lakers offensively are trying to play. We got 48 minutes of this, and it's not going to look too different. We don't have a LeBron version of the offense and then a Luka version of the offense. We don't have a Austin version of the offense. And then, oh, well, here's Anthony Davis as a hub. But then when he's not in the game, we got to do pick and roll. That's not what this is.
This is what I was saying earlier about the Lakers being a mishmash over the last couple of years as they kind of transitioned from one era to the next. Is there was so much of that where it's like, well, it's the LeBron group, and so now we're a post-up team. That I think that what you're saying applies to really every level, all the way up to Kessler and Looney being a backup. We'll see if Looney's in the rotation, but that's our big-ass five that can set screens and get offensive rebounds. There's a lot of similarities from the starters to the backups on this roster.
I totally agree. And so these ideas, Pete, of what do your wings look like and Are some of them limited in the exact same ways?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I think that their strengths are also stacked on top of each other in ways where you can try to build things out where there's a certain amount of predictability of how they want to play, which then allows you to build towards something within a lane of consistency, if that makes sense, where you are replicating the same thing over and over again, and then you become a master of this specific style of basketball. And I think identity is a big part of this. And to me, Pete, there's a version of success where it's like identity and chemistry collide, right? And talent is the through line between that. But every NBA team's got a certain amount of talent, right? It's why on any given night, the Grizzlies might blast you or the Chicago Bulls might blast you. All of these guys have talent. But what is your identity night to night? I think the Lakers are trying to do something with this specific roster. And I think from a chemistry standpoint, the Slovenia trip is the most visible version of this. But this is going to be happening in text threads. It's going to be happening in off-season meetups that have nothing to do with a big trip like this, whether it's golf or in the practice court before it's organized. There's all kinds of this stuff where it's going to just come together for them. At least that's my hope.
Mine as well. And it's not something that you can force or rush, but you can take positive and intentional actions to facilitate it and help speed it up. And I think that that chemistry is going to be built over time on the court and off of it. And the on the court, most of it is ahead of them, but really love that they got to take this trip together. And Iztok made a great point about seeing where Luka comes from and the world that he's from and that giving a better perspective. I just loved everything about this. I hope they had a great time. Everybody's coming back healthy. And yeah, we'll wrap up here. We'll be back either tomorrow or Wednesday. But until then, you've been listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Ainge has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front. Broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
There's Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. The Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game.
Rebound to Lottie. 3 seconds left. Van Exel for the winner. It's on the way. Good.
Kobe Bryant. 48 points. 16 rebounds. With his eighth block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
in Boston. Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe, hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Pretty pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant, picked up by Bell.
There's the move.
Two, one,
miss it!
Bryant! Unbelievable.
It's over.
Shot clock now to five. Bryant.
Yeah!
And that was a little tough to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.